It is time for us to be joined by Thorin Christendotter from Main Street Magazine. Of course, you can find that for free pickup throughout the tri-state region in many different locations, and they have a companion website, which is called mainstreetmag.com. Good morning, Thorin. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great. How about you?
Can't complain, even though it was
cold. That's
always good. Even though it was cold again this morning. Now, my first question for you in the new issue, was that picture of the canoe taken on Rudd Pond?
I assume probably. I didn't ask Libby actually what pond she went to, but I just know it was one hell of an adventure for them.
Well, if they took it this time of year, it's always an adventure doing things outside.
Yeah,
At this time of year. Well, your first story is an interesting story, and that is an artist profile, and that is a knife maker living at the edge.
Yeah, and for the listeners who don't know, we're talking about the December issue, which actually comes out today, but we are looking at it on our website. But yes, this month, CB talked to this incredible knife maker who uses rasps and things, you know, kind of horse tools to make these incredible and beautiful knives. And myself being an equestrian, I thought it was especially interesting that, you know, the use of them, because once the rasps are no longer sharp, you know, you have to discard of them. So I think this is a great recycling method as well.
It's so funny. Years ago, I used to think it was safer to keep not incredibly sharp knives. And I was told quite the contrary, that if you have a knife that is not really, really sharp, there's far more chances for people to get injured with a knife that doesn't cut right than with a knife that cuts right through things like a knife through butter.
Right.
So, and there are other knife sharpeners around here. I have two different knife sharpeners at my house. One's the old-fashioned one, you know, with the long metal rod.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't stand that because I hate the noise it makes. So there's another German company that made a real nice compact one that really works extremely well. It doesn't work on ceramic knives, but anything that's got a metal blade, doesn't matter whether it's a bread knife, serrated, or whatever, it just works wonderful. So, it's something to look at. I think it's pretty interesting because as I scrolled down my screen last night looking at what stories, I saw a picture of my friend Terrence Miller there from Roaring Oaks Florist. He took over Roaring Oaks Florist many years ago and has just done a terrific job with having to move and set up at Lakeville again. Flowers for every season. Nice story with Terrence.
Yeah, Christine's monthly entrepreneur feature this month is Terrence of Country Gardener Florist. And we thought it was nice also for, you know, ahead of the holidays and talk to him about flowers and the flower business. And in the past, we've also talked with Joanne of Country Gardeners and Camilla of Camilla's Floral. So we thought it'd be nice to have Terrence in there too and see how, you know, what's the story behind his business, how he got into it, why Roaring Oaks, the name. And then, as you said, you know, moving to Lakeville after having been in Sharon for so long, and then how COVID has affected his business, because as we know, it's affected everyone's business in some fashion. So it's interesting to, you know, hear from him about how, dealing with, you know, a shortage of employees like so many people, but also how, you know, he can't always get, you know, whatever flower that he could before COVID due to just various shipping issues and other things like that. But it's a wonderful business right in the heart of Lakeville, so we're very happy to be able to feature him.
He's owned it so long. I think the Uverards owned it before. They were the original owners of Roaring Oaks Florist.
He talks about who I can't find the name right now, but he says who he bought it from. Either he's the second or third owner of it. I forget now.
Yeah, he does everything for us, and he does everything for me. He's just a great guy. He's got a great business. And one thing I really love that he does, I don't have to remember anybody's birthday or anniversary. He keeps a list and they call me and let me know.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, he's such a nice guy. We've had many a time gotten flowers from him and they're always so beautiful.
But what a service. It didn't help me out in my first two marriages because I wasn't living here then. But ever since then, I haven't missed anybody's birthday or anniversary or anything like that. So, all right, that's Terrence. Now, I've never heard of this. We're speaking, of course, with Thorin Christendotter, Main Street Magazine. Thumbprint cookies?
Pistachio thumbprint cookies, yeah. This month's recipe from Libby is just that. And she brought some in for us after she made them. She did this on a Sunday. That following Monday morning, 9:30 a.m., here she comes, rushing into her office. Hey, guys, here's some cookies for you. And I'd just seen the photo of it, which, you know, looked beautiful. And so, you know, we got our sugar rush early that Monday morning, and they are delicious. Let me tell you, the chocolate, the little bit of pistachio in there, coupled with the little dollop on top, that's so sweet. It's just, you don't want to eat too many because it's, you know, they're so sweet and nice. But, you know, you just take a little bite, and I enjoyed one for the rest of the day, and I couldn't eat any more. But they were just so good.
Well, I'd be a killer there because I love pistachio.
Oh, it just has a hint of it, though. It's not like it's, you know, I love pistachio, too, but it's not overwhelming. It's just a little hint of it, and it's just right.
But you can see it in there. That's the whole thing. I love pistachio. I love pistachio nuts. I love pistachio ice cream. No one else in my family except my grandmother liked pistachio ice cream. But I'm hooked on it. Just like my other favorite ice cream is chocolate chip mint, but it's got to be the green one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. Yeah.
But anyways, well, you see, I learn something new every day. But I've got to stay away from that stuff, so I'm not going to read on in the story.
Well, you should note that Libby did put in there that she's sharing kind of a secret recipe there because that's one of her family's favorites. So
wow.
We felt very honored that she did share that.
Sharing a secret recipe.
Yeah.
That's I'll tell you, her ancestors are rolling over in their graves right now. You've got a pretty interesting story, the brief craze for octagon houses. You know, an octagon house was built in Sharon many, many years ago when I was in grammar school by an art teacher.
Okay.
And everybody, when she built the house, thought it was a little wacky. But it's still up and it's still running. And you've got a nice story on octagon houses.
That's Christine's real estate feature for the month. And many years ago, I talked with her and someone else about octagon houses and the story of them and the uniqueness of them. And so a couple of weeks back, she suggested focusing on them, and she sent me a link to, I think it's through the government, actually, or some, you know, government agency that has a list. You can go by state and look at every single octagon house in the state and the county. So I remember when she sent me the link, I looked at Columbia County and Dutchess County just to kind of briefly see if I could find some of the ones that I knew of. And I was shocked to see the amount of information that they have and the information about each house and, you know, some of the pictures even, you know, old-timey, and I think there are blueprints on a few of them. So Christine, in this real estate article, talks about kind of the history and origin of octagon houses, how and why they came about and through the ages, because there are a couple of crazes for them. One of the reasons for them was very economical to build an octagon house. And then she kind of walks us through a handful of houses in the region that you might know, like the one in Copic, the leading photo. When that house came up for sale, it was very run down, and they just finished doing it, and now it's for sale. But it's you know, something that, you know, people often talk about, like the Copic house, I know, was a big to-do in the last 2-3 years about it.
Octagon houses. You know what? If I ever built a house again, but I don't think that's ever going to happen, the house that I would like to build would be an underground house that has it's just easier to warm and cool. And I've got plans for it, but I don't think I'll ever get it built.
Well, you've got to make sure you build it into the south side of a hill.
The south side of a hill. And I was even thinking, but my plans have a retractable roof.
Okay,
so you could have a pool in the middle of it. That's year round, but if you want to have sunlight come in, and then all the rooms go around the pool. But anyway, it's one of those far-fetched things that I planned years ago and never got to it. Anyways, we're talking about Main Street Magazine today, and you've got a story by Griffin Cooper, Community Counts on Blessings.
Well, since it's the holidays and the holiday issue, we thought it was nice to include some community blessings. And he had been talking to me about these giving boxes or gift boxes. I think they have a couple of different names depending on the community. So he talked to a few folks and got some information about the, there's a new one in Hillsdale. And you'd be, you know, he found out that you'd be surprised how many people rely on them. And he has a couple of quotes from folks who, you know, deeply rely on these, and how one can donate into the boxes and the kind of what's involved in it. And it's, you know, especially during the holidays when folks suffer or needed a little extra hand or would like to give or help in any way, you know, volunteerism or just helping someone out. These giving boxes are a wonderful thing to know about.
Well, that's just a few of the stories. And the issue, once again, comes out tomorrow.
It comes today. We get it delivered today, probably mid-morning. So by Thursday, Friday, that we should have them out everywhere.
And that is, of course, Main Street Magazine and MainStreetMag.com on the web. Thorin, we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds terrific. Have a good one.
Take care. Thorin Christendotter this morning with us here on Robin Hood Radio with Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio.